guys being dudes here on the Draft Dudes podcast presented by Locked On. It's Joe Marino and Kyle Krabs from the Draft Network, and we are your hosts here on this Thursday edition of the show. We are continuing along with the April mock draft, the final mock draft for the 2020 season here on the Draft Dudes podcast. Kyle, good morning. Welcome. How art thou?
I got to be honest. You ever see any of the, probably not because you don't listen to this kind of music, but like when like a rapper drops an album, there will be reaction videos where it's just like a guy at his computer and he's listening to all the lyrics and the bars in the rap songs like for the first time and like reacting to it in real time. Have you ever seen these, one of these videos before?
You're telling me that's a thing? Like people it's videoing themselves listening to an album and how they respond to it?
Yeah, and then they people like react to the rhymes and
I'll tell you,
how is it any different than an unboxing video? Equal, hey, I bought this shit on the internet.
Equally
here's
stupid.
A video of me opening it up.
Equally stupid.
I actually enjoy some of the reaction videos.
I watched one. I watched somebody unboxing an iPhone that I wanted to buy. That was
not an unboxing video. I enjoy the
you're like, a consumer of the content.
Yeah, I enjoy them. There's a couple guys that are really funny. But that's not the point. The point is when they drop like a really nasty line or rhyme, the guys, like they always like kind of like cringe, like, ooh, that was dirty. And they shake their heads. When you came in with guys being dudes today, that was my reaction.
Why?
I said, oh, he had it turned up to 11 today. He brought the heat. Guys being dudes.
You know, sometimes our pre-show conversations can be a little different. All right. And so sometimes I got to hit that button, that reset, focus in harder than others. And so when you guys hear the really exaggerated version of that, you can know Kyle and I talked about some things in the pre-show.
So, yeah, I just wanted to tip my cap to you and not get off on a side tangent as far as reaction videos or anything like that.
I legitimately, and I didn't do it, but I legitimately thought about doing a Squatch Call just for the hell of it.
Well, you got a Squatch Call because I edit out what's better than this every time now. I just put the Squatch Call.
You're kidding. I do that every day and you don't keep it?
No. God. You could start with guys being dudes and no one would be none the wiser when they listen to the show. This is how I know you haven't listened to the podcast all week.
Right. Well, that's rude. I put my heart and soul into that.
Guys being dudes. That's the intro now.
You're kidding me. You take Kyle Krabs, a man who loves to squeeze every second, takes the time to edit out me saying that.
All I got to do is
and realign the audio files.
It's just lining up because it's in our draft. The Squatch Call is in the draft. So I just got to cut the first 3 seconds off our live recording and back it up back to back with that.
People like this?
Yeah.
Every day, thousands of people listen to the show every
correct.
Day.
Correct. And they get your Squatch Call.
The first thing they hear is that?
Yeah.
I thought it was like a one-day thing, man. You're sitting there rolling with it every day?
Yeah. Yeah.
I got a family, Kyle. Okay. All right. Well, if that's keeps people pushing play, let's go. All right.
Listen, so we have a special treat today on the show. If you have not heard, Locked On NFL and the Locked On Network is doing a network-wide mock draft, right? So today, instead of doing all 16 picks on the back half of ours, we're going to do 8 picks, and then we're going to let you guys experience, and it simulates and emulates like the actual network reaction to the actual draft, but each one of the hosts of the individual shows, Joe is Locked On Bills, picking 54th. Shout out. Nice job.
Yeah.
Me picking 3 times in the first round for Locked On Dolphins, Locked On Bengals, Locked On Giants. Like the whole network got involved and did a mock draft. We're going to let you guys in on the first day of it, which is the first 6 picks.
The only pick that'll be played is the first, but kind of the build up into it. Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Well, it'll give you guys the chance to experience that. And if you enjoy it, go over to Locked On NFL and listen to the rest of the series throughout the course of this week. But Joe, you and I are currently engaged in dueling mock drafts of our own, which we're going to pick up today and get the next 8 picks in and then finish tomorrow.
Yep. And what's the got some big teams here. The 49ers, the Cowboys, the Raiders, Dolphins are in. You know, we got some historic.
I don't have 49ers in here. You just traded back like small time.
Yeah, well, 49ers fans, I'm glad you're here because you get a pick today.
All right, so let's recap what we did. We both picked Joe Burrow, Chase Young, Jeff Okuda, Isaiah Simmons, Justin Herbert to start the draft, correct?
Yep.
Chargers at 6, you went with Tua, I went with Jordan Love.
Yep.
Carolina Panthers, I went with CJ Henderson, you went with...
CJ Henderson.
Okay, very good. Arizona Cardinals, you went with Javon Kinlaw, I went with Tristan Wirfs.
Correct.
Jacksonville Jaguars at 9, you went with Derek Brown, I went with Javon Kinlaw.
Correct.
10, I had the Tampa Bay Buccaneers trade up for Andrew Thomas. You had...
The Broncos trade up for Henry Ruggs.
That's right. Okay, and then the Jets at 11, I gave Mekhi Becton, and you...
Jerry Jeudy.
Vegas Raiders, I gave Tua, stopping the slide, and you gave them CeeDee Lamb?
CeeDee Lamb.
San Francisco, I had them holding firm at 13 and picking CeeDee Lamb, and you...
Had the Patriots moving up to the spot for Jordan Love.
Monster. Okay. Yeah. I had the Eagles trade up to 14, though, so the Browns trade back twice, pick up a bunch of extra picks, and draft Henry Ruggs, pluck him from the Denver Broncos.
At 14, I have the Buccaneers drafting Andrew Thomas.
15, I had Broncos drafting Jerry Jeudy, last of the big three wide receivers.
This is where the Browns traded back for, in my mock, where they picked Tristan Wirfs.
I have Derek Brown going 16 to the Atlanta Falcons.
Caleb on Chase on to the Atlanta Falcons.
Okay. So we're all caught up. Now we're doing 17 through 24 today.
Yep. Who's first?
I'll go first. Dallas Cowboys on the clock.
Okay.
Thought about giving them defensive back. Xavier McKinney on the board. Grant Delpit on the board. But Joe, we get some... There's some indicators here out in the draft sphere that might seem to suggest that the safety demand is not super high. And Grant Delpit, you know, being the primary name of, you know, for all that he can do really well, there's some concern about his tackling, and he didn't have athletic testing at the combine. And we see this every year where the NFL, you know, they kind of get shaky on some of these questionable tacklers. So I opted to go with another direction and another LSU defender in Ke'Lavon Chase onto the Dallas Cowboys. They lost Robert Quinn. Obviously, them getting Aldon Smith in a signing was an exciting development, but at the end of the day, he hasn't played football in 4 years. So let's get a twitchy, bendy, flexible, diverse edge defender in Ke'Lavon Chase on to play opposite DeMarcus Lawrence. I don't care about your left end versus your right end, and that was a big stink in Dallas a couple years ago. Remember, that's why they took Taco Charlton.
We're not doing that anymore, though, right? Like the new DC, Mike Nolan, he's not about that, is he?
No. But like, you know, if you have any worries about scheme fit, just worry about Chaseon's a good football player. So that'll take care of itself, I think. I have the Cowboys going with Ke'Lavon Chaseon.
Former 49ers. They have two former 49ers head coaches, and Mike Nolan and Jim Tomsula. That just hit me.
Yeah, they do.
all right, so I've got the Cowboys up at 17 as well. We are going to go into the secondary. I don't think they're going to pick a safety in the first round. I think we have to look at the Cowboys' history and just realize not really a thing they've done in recent years, despite, I think, having a need there. I am going with cornerback. Jeff Gladney, cornerback from TCU. I think that they need help here. This is a situation where they're rolling with like Anthony Brown, Chidobe Awuzie, Jordan Lewis. I think those are three slot corners. So you need somebody that can play on the outside. Jeff Gladney gives you some coverage versatility. He's physical, and I think he gives you that man coverage upside that this defense needs in a number one corner. So Jeff Gladney, cornerback TCU to Dallas Cowboys.
I hit you with the reaction video. Oh, there. Did you hear it?
I did. Is it a matter of...
There was an approval. I approved of your pick. It was like, ooh, yeah, like I like that fit.
All right, sweet. Some big time person was talking very high about Jeff Gladney on Twitter or something. I couldn't remember who it was, but like a former league exec or something was tweeting up about Jeff Gladney. All right, so I'm up first with the Miami Dolphins, number 18.
Okay, go ahead. What you got?
Oh man, a good pick here. Offensive tackle, Mekhi Becton from Louisville. Holy smokes. Kyle Krabs is not alive anymore after landing Mekhi Becton at 18. Perfect fit, man. I think this is the one that the Dolphins should want to have. If they're going to blend the horizontal passing game with power run game, I mean, quick sets from Mekhi Becton. Nobody's getting around that guy, and he's going to kick ass up front. I don't want to see him burying Jerry Hughes, so I hope this isn't the pick. But at 18 overall, I think if Becton's on the board, that's a sprint to the podium type thing.
Well, the bad news is I gave Becton to the Jets at 11.
Yeah.
The good news, eat your heart out, Joe. Jedrick Wills is still available on my mock.
Jesus.
And that's the pick.
Couple of Dolphins homers here, huh?
Hey, listen, you still have Wills on the board?
Yeah, I do. Not for much longer, but he's on the board.
Yeah, so I was surprised to see the tackles fall as late as they did for you. You seem to have a run on that 7-9 stretch of all defensive players really helped. And then we had the wide receivers go early for you, not so much for me. Wills is the last of the big four offensive tackles. He is available here at 18. He's the one that there seems to be some feeling that he might drop a little bit and go a little lower than what the consensus in the media is, which is all these guys are going to be gone by, like, what do you say, 11? Is like a very popular projection for all of the top tackles to be gone.
Yeah.
Great in pass protection. I think he moves well in space. Obviously, you can use him with Miami if they want to run horizontal quick game and they want to run organized or predetermined screens out into the flats and kind of emulate some punt returns with some athletes in the quick game, which is something that Oregon did a lot of as well with Justin Herbert, who we both gave to the Dolphins. Wills' athleticism can really shine there, and I really like the fit for his demeanor as well. The Dolphins desperately need a little bit of an attitude up front, and Wills can give them that.
Can I go back to a comment you made during your analysis there? You talked about all the tackles being gone by number 11. This is what frustrates me every year. You can't tell me that all the offensive tackles are gone by 11, plus C.J. Henderson, plus Javon Kinlaw, plus Derek Brown, plus Isaiah Simmons, plus Jeff Okuda, plus two or three quarterbacks. Like, we have a math problem here. You know what I mean? Like, it just, every year I feel like I get to this point where it's like everything that you keep telling me, not necessarily you, I'm saying the world.
Why are you yelling at me, man?
I don't know, man. It's just like because the final mock drafts next week, and you know, you kind of stress over it for a month.
Oh, yes, I do know.
So it's kind of getting down to the point where you got to start really kind of, you know, framing it out this weekend and finalizing it early next week. And it's like, well, everything I'm told can't happen. So now I have to weed through it. And it's frustrating as hell because you want to get it right.
It's like it's like those guys. It's like, oh, so-and-so top 30 pick guaranteed. And then you add up all the times that's said, and there's like 50 top 30 locks.
Yeah, I can't like, fit them all. It just doesn't work.
Well, okay, so I have 19, the Vegas Raiders staying put, and they are picking Jeff Gladney. So I'm going to go with Gladney at corner. The Raiders fans were very quick to remind me during mock madness. They spent a lot of money on linebackers this offseason, which they did. Should you have spent the money you spent on Nick Kwiatkowski? That's debatable. And I like Nick
Kwiatkowski. You are. You're a Kwit fan.
I am a big Kwit fan, but they gave him pretty penny to come out there to Vegas.
Yeah.
Corey Littleton, I think, is a great signing. One of the better coverage linebackers in the NFL. Athleticism will be a huge upgrade for them. So now it's a matter of let's think of who are the guys that fit the Gruden-Mayock mold. They like blue-collar, tough dudes. Gladney is not the most physically imposing frame in the secondary, but you watch him trigger on stuff in front of his face and try and tell me he doesn't check that box. Gladney's the pick for the Raiders for me.
All right, so the Raiders, I also have them going cornerback. Obviously, Jeff Gladney's not available. You know, obviously, we've spent a lot of years listening to Mike Mayock talk about football players, and especially cornerbacks, right? He loved defensive backs.
You going AJ Terrell here?
I'm not, but that would make sense. I think that would be an on-brand pick for them. I'm going with Christian Fulton, cornerback from LSU. I feel like a lot of the traits that we've heard Mayock talk about corners, you can apply them to Fulton and see him being a player that he really likes. But this is kind of what pushes him over the edge for me. And also, you know, the same can be said from AJ Terrell. We learned last year from this Raiders brass that they want to go after like successful players from successful college programs, like LSU, national champions last year. Yeah, they do. So like AJ Terrell, I think, is obviously on brand as well. So you could flip a coin between the two. I'm going to go with Christian Fulton here because I just feel like I can envision myself watching like Path to the Draft with Mayock on there and then talking about how calm and under control Fulton is at all times. And the challenging thing with Fulton is you could tell me he goes 19. You could tell me he goes 50. I don't know where the NFL is on him, but I think this is a reasonable landing spot. So I have the Jaguars. People get so mad about the way I say
Jaguars.
If I say Jaguars, everybody yells at me. So it's what is it? Jaguars?
No, I say Jaguars.
Okay, well, what's the? Is it Jaguars?
Jaguars.
Jaguars. The team from Jacksonville. That's what I have to do. There's the team from Jacksonville for now.
For now. Did we both do that? Really?
We did. We did it on purpose, but we did.
No, we didn't, though. We didn't talk about doing that at all. Okay, the team currently located in Jacksonville. Go
Duval
ahead.
Duval County. All right, we're going Jedrick Wills, offensive tackle.
Oh, man.
Alabama. I feel like this is a player that they would love to have. And you think about making sure that the infrastructure is right for whoever their quarterback is next year. Minshew. Maybe it's Gardner Minshew. You know, maybe 2021, you get a tackle like this in the building. I think, you know, Cam Robinson, his contract's up after the year. You know, maybe he's a guard. I don't know. But I think that this is a BPA type situation and the type of player that, I mean, every team should love Jedrick Wills' tape. And I think that he would really add a piece to the trenches here. And this is, it feels like an on-brand pick for the Jaguars. So, or the team from Jacksonville, Duval. So that's where we're going here with the Jaguars at 20. Team from Jacksonville.
I'm trying to think of an offensive line that has Juwan Taylor, Cam Robinson, and Jedrick Wills all on it at the same time.
Be pretty nasty. Give you a chance, man. That.
Yeah. You run the ball. I have the Jaguars drafting Xavier McKinney, safety from Alabama.
Good pick.
You look at the Jacksonville secondary right now, and obviously there was a big exodus in talent with both corners, Bouye and Ramsey, but even at the safety position, they just need to reinfuse talent into that secondary if they're going to try and get that level of play back to where it was when they were playing in the AFC Championship game in early 2018. So for me, McKinney, I liked for them because of his versatility, because I think he can give you a lot. And this is a defense that had a lot of guys over the course of their successful stretch. And even if you expand it to like their linebackers with Miles Jack right now, they like guys that can do a lot of different things. And I think McKinney in this defense is a guy who would not come off the field. You could play him at linebacker in sub packages, take advantage of the athleticism with Miles Jack, making sure you're negating tight ends and running backs in the passing game. I think he can play some deep coverage. I just wouldn't leave him there completely on an island on his own. So they'll need to iron out the corner position as well. But for the time being, this was a best player available at a position of need type fit for me for Jacksonville at 20.
Like it.
Okay, Cleveland Browns at 21. This team has traded back twice. They traded from 10 to 14 and then 14 to 21.
Before the pick. Before the pick.
Yeah.
Good job going back to being the Cleveland Browns with the uniforms. I liked it.
Yeah. I mean, I want a uniform change that I look at and say, wow, that's awesome.
Cleveland, I think you're going to get it with those colors, man.
No, you're right. But it's better than what they had.
Yeah.
And at the same time, I mean, who's left? The Chargers are the only team left that hasn't revealed their uniforms, right?
I think the Patriots have a very minor shift that's coming, but
okay, screw them. Nobody likes them.
And like anymore. The Colts or whatever, you know, like they have like their numbers they change or whatever.
Right. Like Colts uniform update was like, oh, we changed the font on the numbers.
Right.
Great.
Secondary.
They look like clean. That. They look clean. Yeah. But it's like, I want like, holy shit, those are awesome. And where are we getting that? Atlanta? Atlanta's was a joke.
Right.
Tampa's was solid, but again, it's echoing onto a prior look.
We needed to fix the mistake. We don't know exactly what to do, but it's not what we have.
So we're just gonna hit Control Z or Command Z and undo what we just did.
Yeah, which I think for both of those teams, it made a lot of sense. I that's the thing is I don't know what to do with the Browns uniforms, but I think going back to the classic look was good. We'll do a uniform pod, I'm sure, in July or something. Like that,
most so. Definitely. Okay, so Cleveland Browns, F21. Traded back twice. The Sashi Brown model is alive and well with Andrew Berry. And Joe, I'm a little pissed. You gave me this idea, and then you didn't execute it, and now I have to be the a-hole.
It's because Wirfs was there at 15. That changed everything.
Cleveland Browns, 21. Offensive tackle, Ezra Cleveland, big-time athlete. Pick up a bunch of extra picks with two trade backs in the first round before getting a guy that meets an athletic profile that we seem to think the Browns are going to like. That's my pick.
Yeah, yeah. And plus his last name's Cleveland, you know, for the Butthead. Cleveland for the Cleveland Browns, you know?
Oh, I get it. I get it.
All right. Is it me? 21?
Yep.
I have the Philadelphia Eagles. On the clock here. Denzel Mims, wide receiver from Baylor. Like, is this the most talented wide receiver that Carson Wentz will have ever had if they were to make this pick?
No.
Talented, physically gifted. Who's been more physically gifted that the Eagles have had at wide receiver more so than Denzel Mims? Who is it? Not Alshon.
I mean, Nelson Aguilar had a good athletic profile. He just couldn't catch.
But the size component, too. This would be a great pairing. That's what I'm trying to say. I think the ability to go up and get the football, the size and athletic ability, separation quickness, the agility, it's all there. And this is, you know, obviously we know the Eagles need help at receiver. And I think from a physical upside perspective, this would give Carson Wentz a really exciting weapon to work with. Which gets me to the Minnesota Vikings, who also have a need at wide receiver. We're going to fill it with Justin Jefferson, wide receiver from LSU. You think about putting him into this offense with Kirk Cousins, who's a rhythm passer. Loves to find completions. Well, I know that Justin Jefferson can separate. He's good after the catch. And, you know, Stephon Diggs gave them a guy that could also go up and get the football in contested situations. And, you know, Justin Jefferson was 12 of 13 in contested situations last year. So I think the reality with the Diggs trade is they got more than a one, but they have to find his replacement because they're a little bit undermanned at receiver now. So you get the replacement here in Jefferson, and plus you still have some day three picks to continue improving your roster. But I think they're kind of pigeonholed here a bit, and I think they have to go and invest in a receiver early in this draft.
Hey, at 22, I also had the Vikings picking Justin Jefferson, and you did such a great job summarizing it. I have nothing to add, so thank you.
Yeah, 23.
New England Patriots at 23 for me. I have them picking the most New England Patriots-style defender I could possibly find. Zach Bond is the pick for New England. stepping into the Kyle Van Noy type role, I think is where he has the opportunity to really shine. So Bond, they're going to play him at some Sam linebacker. He's going to play pass rusher off the edge. He's going to be off ball, twisting inside in pass rush pressure situations as well. He's shown very high competency in all of those areas at Wisconsin. Felt like a match made in heaven at 23.
At 23, I have the San Francisco 49ers. This is where they traded back. And we're getting Cesar Ruiz, the interior offensive lineman from Michigan. I remember watching his tape. And the team, you ever just like watch a player and you're like, this team needs to get this player? It was me with Ruiz because of, you know, I think he's so good at the line of scrimmage in a phone booth, but he's also got range. And you think about what the 49ers like to do with their wide zone rushing offense and getting their interior offensive lineman out in space. You get that from Ruiz. And you know, this is a team that, for better or worse, is committed to Jimmy Garoppolo. And I think making sure he has every opportunity to succeed by especially making sure the interior offensive line, the depth of the pocket, is going to be maintained and you still maintain your rushing attack, I think is going to be really important. So had him trade back, get some day two capital, but also come away with, I think, the best interior offensive lineman in the class.
All right, last pick of the day, Joe. You're up, Saints, 24. Unless you had him trade out, I don't know.
No, New Orleans Saints, number 24 overall. Let's go linebacker here. Kenneth Murray, Oklahoma. Big, physical, tone-setting type player. Ask him to shoot gaps. Ask him to chase. He is going to be dynamic, unrelenting in his pursuit of the football. I think you pair him with a really smart, instinctive linebacker like DeMario Davis, and I think linebacker is the biggest need for this Saints team. And I'm all in on doing whatever it takes to make sure that this roster works for maximizing this year with Drew Brees. The biggest hole I can find is linebacker. Kenneth Murray answers that question and gives the Saints a chance to really make a run here with no glaring issues on the roster.
And at 24, I also have the Saints picking at 24. I did not give them a linebacker. I chose to give them my best available corner. You look at the Saints corners, Marshawn Lattimore, and then you had a little bit of a drop-off. You know, they brought in Janoris Jenkins via free agency and Patrick Robinson, who's getting a little long in the tooth, and P.J. Williams, who's preferably a nickel. I gave him Christian Fulton. Imagine the pairing of Marshawn Lattimore and Christian Fulton, LSU kid, staying in the Bayou, play for New Orleans. Really like that potential pairing as an outside duo, P.J. Williams and Janoris Jenkins as solid veteran depth along with Patrick Robinson. You pair that with what they've got going on at safety with Malcolm Jenkins, Marcus Williams, and Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, and we are cooking with gas. So I don't need those linebackers. If I can get those three safeties on the field all at the same time with these corners, let's go. So that was my pick for New Orleans, cornerback Christian Fulton. So Joe, tomorrow we have 8 picks left. Quick recap of today's picks. I gave Dallas Ke'Lavon Chaisson. You gave them
Jeff Gladney.
Okay, I gave the Dolphins Jedrick Wills. You gave the Dolphins Mekhi Becton. I remember that one.
Yeah.
Vegas Raiders, I gave them Jeff Gladney at 19, and you gave them
Christian Fulton.
I gave the Jaguars Xavier McKinney at 20. You gave them Jedrick Wills.
Yeah, Duvall gets Jedrick Wills.
Yeah, smart. Don't even bother trying to say it. I gave the Browns at 21, Ezra Cleveland. You gave the Philadelphia Eagles Denzel Mims at 21. We both gave the Vikings Justin Jefferson. I gave the Patriots Zach Bond. You gave the 49ers, who traded back with the Patriots, Cesar Ruiz. I gave the New Orleans Saints Christian Fulton, and you gave the New Orleans Saints
Kenneth Murray.
Kenneth Murray. So that is day two of this now 3-day extravaganza. But for now, we have a special treat for you on the podcast. As we mentioned at the top of the show, we're going to play the first portion of the 2020 Locked On NFL Mock Draft Special. This project is a culmination of every host in the Locked On Podcast Network's NFL channel and many of the hosts on the college channel as well. Includes insights from us here at the Draft Network and Trevor and Ben from Locked On NFL Draft. This mock draft isn't a predictive draft. The hosts aren't selecting who they think their team will pick on April 23rd. Instead, it's who they want their teams to draft on draft day. There's also some trades and surprises. The college hosts provided player profiles on all the players selected in the mock draft as well. And all 32 teams are being featured, even the teams like Joe's, without a first-round selection. The mock draft special started on Friday, April 10th. And is airing all the way through till tomorrow, Friday, April 17th. Make sure to subscribe to Locked On NFL on Apple Podcasts or follow on Spotify so you don't miss a show. And if you do, just go back into the archive. So without further ado, here's the 2020 Locked On NFL Mock Draft Special.
They've been playing the game their entire life. From the playground.
I promise to exercise and eat right.
Don't forget 60 minutes of play a day, right?
I'm playing the NFL.
Yes, sir.
I'm drafting number one.
Maybe.
To their high school.
Let's hear it, gentlemen. Clear eyes, full hearts.
Can't lose.
Let's go play some football. Let's go, man.
To the university.
We have 95 players here, so accomplished as athletes in high school. We gave them full scholarships to the best football program in the country.
Now, their lives are about to change. Forever.
Become your mom's favorite player?
Whoa.
This is Locked On NFL, and this is the Locked On Podcast Network Mock Draft.
Welcome to the 2020 Locked On NFL Mock Draft Special. Brian Peacock here alongside former NFL scout Matt Williamson. We will take you through the first round plus in a network-wide mock draft, all 32 teams represented, even those without first-round picks. Hosts making picks for the teams they cover, our friends from the college side of the network with profiles on each one of these prospects that get selected in the Locked On NFL Mock Draft Special, why they are considered worthy of first-round selections, and analysis from my co-host, Matt Williamson, as well as draft dudes Kyle Krabs and Joe Marino, and the Locked On NFL Draft crew, Trevor Sikkema and Ben Solak. If you're listening to this kickoff episode on a team-specific podcast, you can follow along all week, every pick throughout round one on the Locked On NFL channel. Teams are talking trades, so you may not know exactly where your team ends up selecting. We'll conclude this draft next Friday, checking in with those teams in round two who didn't select in the opening stanza, some of which might jump into round one before it's all finished, and recapping everything that went down all week long. Matt, I'm pumped. Are you ready to do this thing?
I'm very ready to do this thing. This is a very cool event. I think people will enjoy it. We've had so many new subscribers since last year that didn't get to enjoy it. So you're in for a treat. You're in for a wild ride and a really well put together whole situation here starting right now.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it was one of the most popular. It was the most popular show on the NFL side of the network last year. And I expect it to be even bigger and better. And the way things are right now in the world and wherever you are listening to this podcast, I hope you are well. And I hope this is something fun for you to listen to all week long. Matt, as the Cincinnati Bengals go on the clock with the opening selection in the Locked On NFL mock draft, you've been through this. What are teams doing in preparation the final days and minutes leading up to the first pick for those specific teams?
Well, this year, who the heck knows? I mean, I'm sure that there's things like, you know, the electronics or the IT people are coming to everyone's homes to make sure everything works, checking, double checking, doing all that kind of stuff. We mentioned before, you know, maybe you could run mock drafts in terms of let's try to just do a whole walkthrough basically of how this thing's going to work. If we're going to make a trade, who's in charge of calling this team, et cetera, et cetera. But honestly, in the olden days and the not 2020 draft, most of the hay is in the barn really a day or two before the draft. I mean, you might be calling agents of your favorite people to make sure that prospects didn't fall down the stairs or that knee that you're worried about isn't flaring up. But for the most part, things should be done a couple days before the draft.
Let's check in with some of our analysts here on the network. We have a pair of NFL draft shows, draft dudes, Kyle Krabs and Joe Marino.
It's Joe Marino and Kyle Krabs of the Draft Dudes podcast, and let me just tell you, as a couple of draft dudes, we are really excited for this Locked On Podcast Network draft simulation where each host is going to make the picks for their team, and I know it's not the real thing, but it's pretty damn close, and this draft promises to be very exciting with all the dynamics between the teams with multiple first-round picks and all the quarterbacks. So, Kyle, I'm sure you're just as excited as I am.
Yeah, the big mystery here is, from the quarterback perspective, how many can we get to go early? And then the other fascinating subplot is, when does the offensive tackle run start, and how fast does it go? Because there's generally considered to be four top offensive tackles. There's generally considered to be three top quarterbacks. Maybe a fourth with Jordan Love if he sneaks in there, remains to be seen. And the order of all seven of those players who are feasibly top 12 talents coming off the board is going to be a really interesting scenario to see how it actually plays out here.
I think just as interesting as the offensive tackle discussion is the wide receiver. Everybody knows this is a really deep and talented crop of receivers, but there's really exciting guys at the top of the board. You know, could we see six, seven, eight guys go off the board in the first round? When does that run start? And who are those late first round guys that teams that, you know, like the Packers or like the Saints and Eagles and Vikings, who do they get if they are a left kind of picking the later half of those top tier prospects? So offensive tackles, quarterbacks, wide receivers, the NFL is a passing league. And you can tell that this draft is going to really help these offenses be more dynamic.
Yeah, it's a deep class, and we're going to have a lot of opportunities to see players that in a typical class are probably off the board by 20. They might be lingering here in the late first round, early second round. So lots to look forward to, lots to get into. Looking forward to see how these teams start their drafts.
Hey, everybody. Trevor Sikkema and Benjamin Solak from the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast here with you. Excited to go on this journey of the Locked On NFL Mock Draft Special. Ben, this is going to be a lot of fun. There's so many things that could happen in this mock draft. What are you looking forward to most?
Yeah, it's always nice when you're able to get 32 guys, each of whom knows their team as well as the host and the Locked On Podcast Network do, and they can control for their pick. And then you have the freedom for things like trade negotiations as the pick comes off the board. You have the ability for surprises as each individual analyst focuses on their guys. I think, number one, it's not going to be a typical mock. It's not going to be like what we see.
No, definitely
when
not.
Only one person controls all 32 teams, there's going to be a lot more aggressive moves. So I expect to see big trade-ups. I expect to see surprising picks. Yep. And that's the reality with these. When you're controlling just that one team, you go and get your guy. That's what we see in the league. I guess that's what we'll be seeing in this mock as well.
I'm really interested to see how the offensive tackles go here in the first round, because it's just the possibilities are endless. We saw that in our guest mock draft series that we're doing on our podcast. But, I mean, what other positions are big ones? Quarterback, wide receiver, probably, right?
Well, I think that when you're making these sorts of picks and it's catered to your audience for your podcast, you're tempted sometimes to go for those sexier positions. And the sexy position in this draft is undoubtedly wide receiver. So to me, I'm really interested to see. We know the big three will come off the board, and Jerry Jeudy, CeeDee Lamb, and Henry Ruggs. Who's wide receiver 4, who's wide receiver 5, and just how many can we fit in this first round?
Ooh, it's going to be a lot of fun. Ben and I are going to be back with you recapping a lot of these picks throughout the mock draft. I'm very excited, so let's get it started.
Okay, Matt, we're here. The Cincinnati Bengals are on the clock. Is there any doubt what the Bengals should do here? They earned the right through their poor play in the 2019 season to be drafting number 1 overall on everybody's list. It seems to be the same name, the same prospect that should go first overall. If their phone is ringing, should they even be answering it, or do they know who the pick will be with the first overall selection in this draft?
I mean, you answer it, and if someone offers you a Godfather-like offer, you consider it, and he still might not even say yes. I mean, I think Burrow is the super prospect. He would go first in almost every draft, you know, 9 out of 10 years. That's a gift, and the Bengals need it. He's an Ohio guy. They need to sell tickets. They need to sell jerseys. The offense that he falls into isn't in that bad a shape as first overall selections go. So I think it's kind of too good to be true.
All right. With that, this draft is underway. Let's go to the hosts of Locked On Bengals and get the pick for Cincinnati, Joe Goodberry and Jake Lisco.
The first overall pick in the 2020 NFL draft, the Cincinnati Bengals easily and without second thought select Joe Burrow. In fact, Joe, we received no calls in the war room for the number one pick. I guess everyone just knows not to ask.
And I don't think we would have considered any offers anyway. So we make this pick. This pick has really been made since maybe late December, when the Bengals lost to the Miami Dolphins in week 16 of the regular season and clinched their first overall pick. Joe Burrow went on a tear in the playoffs after that, and the Bengals will finally get a franchise quarterback. First time they've drafted number one since 2003, when they drafted Carson Palmer out of USC. They're in that position again. The roster has been turned over on the defensive side through free agency, and I think they're looking at this squarely of saying, our Super Bowl window opens again if we draft Joe Burrow number one in 2020.
That's right. The Bengals don't just spend money to spend money. This is a strategic injection of funds into the defense to make themselves competitive while they have Joe Burrow on his rookie deal for 5 years. He's, of course, expected to come in and be a day one starter in Cincinnati. Andy Dalton is still on the roster, but will not be on the roster by the time training camp comes around. He might not even be on the roster by the time the draft is finished. We are looking openly to trade Andy Dalton for whatever assets we can recover. And if that doesn't work out, he'll be cut before Joe Burrow shows up for rookie camp or for the first offseason activity that we're allowed to hold with these rookies this summer. Joe, how much better does Joe Burrow make this team?
Well, the quarterback is the most important position, and I think we're looking at a guy coming off a historic college football season that many have said is the best passing performance throughout a whole season in the history of college football. What does he do better than Andy Dalton? Andy Dalton has been the Mendoza line for starting quarterbacks in the league for a long time, and I feel like all of the skills you look for typically when you look at college quarterbacks, usually they are the big guys with the strong arms going near the top, and you say, can they function in the pocket? Do they have accuracy? How's their IQ? How's their processing? How do they do off script? All the questions you normally go into tape asking with Joe Burrow, those are all the answers you have with him based on tape and based on what he showed this past year. All of those things are not in question. He has them in spades. It's the arm strength, right? That's the only area you really question. And I would say it's very similar to Andy Dalton. So it should be an upgrade in almost every area of quarterbacking other than that. And that's okay, because when you look at the best quarterbacks in the league over the last 20, 25 years, whether it's Tom Brady or Peyton Manning or Drew Brees, they all had those other features in their game without having a cannon for an arm.
Simply put, Joe Burrow is the most influential recruit in LSU football history. In leading the Tigers to the 2019 National Championship, Burrow was fantastic, shattering school records and setting national marks that may not be touched. 5,671 yards and 60 touchdown passes for Burrow while completing 76% of his passes. His arm strength won't wow you, but Joe Burrow makes up for it everywhere else. His decision-making is elite, just 6 interceptions on the 2019 season. He's the son of a coach and a film room junkie. There's a story about LSU beating Alabama, getting back to from Tuscaloosa to Baton Rouge, and when Joe Brady, the passing game coordinator, got to LSU football ops that night to go get the cut-ups of the film, Burrow had already beaten him there. Burrow has very underrated athleticism. Not only was he a high school quarterback, he was also a high school basketball player, and his ability to move the chains with his feet is something that many have overlooked throughout this process. Burrow is a fierce competitor whose teammates love him, who rises in the biggest moments. Should Joe Burrow stay healthy, he will have a long, prosperous NFL career as a franchise quarterback. This is Matt Moscona of Locked On LSU, your source for LSU and SEC content every day.
All right, Matt, there's the pick. Joe Burrow goes number one overall to the Cincinnati Bengals, and there's a lot to like about Joe Burrow. I think maybe if you're nitpicking, you can find some knocks here and there about arm strength, which in some cases is completely overrated, and I like what was said by many smart NFL people in the past, that the quarterback position isn't so much played with your arm once you get to the NFL level. It's played from the neck up, and I think that's where Joe Burrow really shines.
Yeah, absolutely, and he is a good athlete. He has a remarkable head and poise and confidence for the game, processing, accuracy. He does not have a power arm, and that worries me a little bit considering the area of the country he's going to when it's sleeting and windy and, you know, in the NFC North and late in the year. We'll see how he deals with that, but that by no means would slow me down from making such a pick. He's a tremendous prospect.
More Locked On NFL Draft special coming up. The Washington Redskins are now on the clock.
This was a section from episode 1, which debuted on Friday, April 10th. If you missed it or have any episodes in your queue that you have not caught up on, just check out the archive on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you listen to your podcasts. On tomorrow's show, we will be finishing this mock draft with picks 25 through 32. Kyle Krabs, Joe Marino signing off. Now go listen to Locked On NFL. Get caught up on this mock draft special series. Looking forward to talking with you guys again tomorrow.